Yeah, now that kind of gives me a segue into the whole RV thing, because before you left, you did bring to council a petition about RVs, and then you've sort of you've joined this group up in the Thompson-Nicola district that is about RV living, and you've got some experience down around Victoria area about RV. So tell me a bit about what you've found down there.
Okay, in general, what I found is some areas, I'm going to mention Victoria, Langford, Cobble Hill, Mill Bay, which I know very well. They're full of people in their RVs in their backyard where their kids may live, or grandma or grandpa or mom and dad. They're in the driveways, they're everywhere. I lived in a beautiful one when I first left town in Langford. And in the back of a very, very nice home on 2 acres, and the landlord had someone come and visit one day. It turned out to be a counselor for Langford. And when he introduced himself and welcomed me to the neighborhood, he made a comment, "Finally, my buddy's rented out the RV." And I said, "Well, as a counselor, what do you think of that?" And he said, "Oh, we encourage people to come up with carriage homes, rental suites, shared accommodation, or RVs." And I was quite amazed after I got a letter which stated there may be a disabled woman who basically lived a lot of her life homeless, who I put up in a safe RV up on my property with sewer, water, and kept her safe and fed. I got a letter stating that I was disgraced to the community and I would be fined $200 a day if she remained there. So I had to evict her. I told this counselor from Langford the story. He was so amazed. And he said, "Eric, what we do is if somebody has a complaint about an RV or a carriage home or a tent in the backyard, we need to identify that it's a legitimate complaint." So the bylaws put in place so that if there's a legitimate complaint and we identify legitimacy by, is it affecting the environment? Is it affecting you personally? Is it affecting your standard of living? And if they can't come up with any reason other than that there's a tent in the backyard or there's an RV in the driveway, and we think someone might be sleeping in it, we just disregard it and almost call it a nuisance that we had to even look into it. So unless we have a couple of complaints, we don't normally even bother. We actually encourage it. And then to find a small, the TNRD, the Thompson-Nicola Regional District, has taken on the same outlook as Little Alert Bay, where they've driven 20 miles off the highway because they heard a rumor someone may be camping in an RV on their own property. And it's turned into a fight. The Rural Rights Association of BC was formed to start going to these communities that are not allowing people to live safely in the way they want without disturbing a soul, and putting a stop to it and saying, "No, you can't make us live in a house with 4 bedrooms and 3 bathrooms that we don't need. I'd like to be able to pack up, go in the winter, come back in the spring if I choose."
So was that letter that you got, was that one of your reasons for leaving here?
Larry, there was quite a few petty things that had happened. The tone of the letter was so nasty and so hurtful. I remember Frank Smith Sr. would stop when he was doing the tours for a lot of Europeans that would come to town. The Numgies had a tour going on, which was fantastic. And Frank was 100% the right person to run this tour. And he would stop in front of my place many times, and the Germans and French and English would take pictures, and I would invite them onto the property if they want to see the chickens or maybe even pick some berries. And to hear that my property was a disgrace to the community and visitors was so ridiculous and so wrong. Not only that, Larry, I got threatened that should they prove in 60 days that this person, who happened to be disabled and handicapped and homeless, may still be living in that little RV that was hooked up to sewer and water, or to septic and water, that I would be subject to a $200 a day fine. And that's was so ridiculous and so unfair, when no one could even see the RV from the street. You have to break a bylaw to see it by basically walking the runway. So anyway, yes, to answer your question, yes, that was a part of me wanting to vacate.
Now, what about the because you got signatures on a petition to look at these bylaws. Now, and by the way, we do have a committee that is looking at the bylaws right now.
Larry, this committee was another reason I had to go. I, within a week, showed this letter to many, many people that were horrified. The threatening letter I got signed by the mayor, and they were couldn't wait to put their signatures down. I know everyone on the list, and everyone in the mayor and council knew everyone on the list. We're a small community. Possibly two of the new people they wouldn't have known, but I did say, "Oh, they live in so and so's old house." But after doing this and having many members of the voting public come to the council meeting to hand in the petition, it was basically taken in one hand and thrown out with the other because someone made a comment, "There's no addresses, so it's not valid." Well, this wasn't supposed to be a legal petition. It was supposed to show and give council, mayor and council, the idea that it's wanted and needed in the community and tolerated. Someone there doing a backhand, off-the-cuff comment is not a threat to the community about living in an RV. And every the voters of our community, which is down to 365 last I checked, to have 100 of them sign within a week, and then to have it thrown out, disregarded, and then told they're forming a bylaw committee, and the same people that's ran the village, they either currently or in the past, who have watched for many, many years, like I said, since 1963, our population has decreased. So a lot of these ex-mayors and ex-councillors and ex-public works, or people that worked for the village, have watched this decline over the years, and they appointed those people on the bylaw committee. And not one person that signed out of the 100 signatures was invited onto the bylaw committee to try to come up with some new ideas.
You weren't invited?
No. No, and neither was any of the others on the list. But they formed the bylaw committee within themselves, the same people that sent the letter threatening me a $200 a day fine and telling me I'm a disgrace, became members of the bylaw committee. So that was the final straw. I said, "You, this is so corrupt or unfair. I don't want to be a part of it."
Yeah, geez. So, I mean, we do have to kind of keep this to a length that can be transmitted on the internet. So, yeah, that, well, I guess we're going to see what unfolds about that when we hear from that bylaw committee. But have you got any sort of general comments about ideas for the future here in Alert Bay? And,
Well, I've said it for many, many years. Let's not revisit things like the fuel station unless there's an influx of boats and all kinds of different activities going on that could justify it. Let's use new ideas. Ecotourism and retirement village is something that comes to mind because of hospital, pharmacy, a store, a dental clinic. There's a lot of pensioners that can't really afford to live in the big cities anymore, and once they came here, would love it, which has been proven with the 360. Many people have decided to come by back, retire, and buy a home here. So let's not have everybody on a council that's lived here all their life and watched our population decrease for 60 years. Let's get some people in there with fresh new ideas and new eyes. I'm going to go right back to the beginning of this. The 360 was created by three people, one of which myself had only been here a few months, but saw the potential of such an event. Wendy Peterson had spent her last 17 years in California and had just recently returned, and she saw a lot of potential in creating events and things that could help our population. And Robin Thacker, who had from Atlantis Kayaks, who had never even been here before. So it's amazing that three newcomers. So I'm encouraging mayor and council to be diversified. At least half should be not like people here lived here all their life, because we need fresh ideas, and we're just not getting it, from those that are have lived here all their life. Larry, I'm going to say I was very happy to vote for you, very happy you got in, because you're exactly what I'm talking about. How many fresh and new ideas have you come up with that I've heard throughout the community? And how many people are you supporting that otherwise would have been given nasty letters from mayor and council? You've gone to bat for several of them, and I thank you for that as a human being. And your newest take, I understand from talking to people, is to be kind. And I think if we bundle the kindness and thoughtfulness into some of these letters that are being proposed, we're going to start changing things. But thank you very much for asking me to talk.
Thanks, Eric. I mean, you've given us lots to think about, and I hope that your future is going to bring you back here because I think we need your energy and
Well, if I see a diversified mayor and council or progressive thinking changes that are beneficial to our community, I would very, it's very possible.
Okay, thanks.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Hello again, Larry Hill here. Thanks for listening to that interview. There will be others posted on this site, so don't forget that I also do a summary of the council meetings. Usually within a week of our council meetings, there'll be online a summary on this anchor.fm. So listen to those too and see what you think. Thanks very much. From Port Hardy one morning I cast off my line. The sea was all smooth and the weather just fine. Out for Castle Rock I was headed away, where the coho flashed silver all over the bay. Where the coho flashed silver all over the bay.